Good morning. The gospel is a long gospel, and it's filled with all kinds of great teachings about Christ and what he wants of us. But we're just going to focus on a couple things. We're going to focus on this intimate knowledge that happens between Jesus and the Samaritan woman and the disciples and the people of Samaria. That here is this woman, and he meets the woman, and of course, she is an adulteress. She's a sinner, right? Pretty bad sinner. Not only does he break all the customs by talking to a Samaritan, first of all, a sinner, second of all, but a woman, third of all, because men did not talk to women in public ever in the Jewish. Some real strong Jews don't do it today. But in those days, you never did that. So here's Jesus talking to a sinner, a Samaritan, and a woman. Everything you would not do in those days, Jesus did. And what he does is he meets this woman where she is at, but he doesn't leave her where she's at, huh? And again, sometimes with us, when we deal with people who are sinners, or they, you know, sometimes it's in our own family, you know, well, this person lives with somebody and they're not welcome in my house, and we play all these games because we make ourselves righteous. That's never of God. I don't care who tells you anything other. It's never of God. I don't care. Because that ain't what Jesus did. Jesus went against all the things. He could have sat there and said, oh, I can't talk to you. You're a sinner.
I am the God of the universe, and you are a sinful person living with you're living with somebody, having sex outside of marriage. You've been married 5 times. That ain't what he does.
He tells her everything she ever did. And he loves her. Hi. And it's his love. Go ahead. That's okay. Oh, it's fine. You can have a seat wherever you are. That's nice. And he loves her. And I probably have to go to the bathroom. That's okay. Go ahead. You can go too. Better to do it now. Anyway, I'm so easily distracted now. I was talking about, the woman. And so easily that we do the same thing, that we judge people instead of love people. And when we judge people, when I'm doing a parish mission, you know, judging will only take people farther away from God. Huh? They're not going to bring them closer. When I did this parish mission last week, and I was driving back and forth, you know, the last night I got cornered afterwards. They always have a reception after the last night, usually, not always. And so people corner me sometimes. And one woman came up and says, you know, Father, my son or daughter or whatever is going to get married to a guy outside the church. He's Jewish. And, you know, what should I do? Someone told me I shouldn't go. What are they doing in there with those kids? Holy cow. Someone said I shouldn't go, and I says, your job is to love them. You let God judge them. Of course you go. And again, some of you might totally disagree with me. You might find priests and others, well, that's wrong. Well, I'm telling you to get over yourself. That the reality is God forbid us to judge, and he commanded us to love, and that means we have to meet people where they are, huh? And then we don't leave them there, we bring them up. But your judgment of no matter who you judge, whether it's your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, whatever it is, your judgment will do nothing to them except draw them farther away from God, and it'll be your fault. That's why Christ forbid you and me to judge. We do it quite well, of course, and we feel good about ourselves when we do it. Because then we take our higher ground and we feel so much better way up here that I can judge everybody else. But that ain't the way Jesus did it. And he is the only one who had the right to judge. The only one. None of you, none of me, none of us have a right. Only Jesus have that right, huh? And so when he meets a sinner, a woman, a Samaritan, he loves her where she's at. And he has this intimate knowledge of her. And knowledge, isn't it amazing that those sins that you and I commit, Christ knows all about it. He wasn't up there looking down at you like, oh, did that again, huh? He's inside of you. And not one sin you've ever committed, no matter how bad a sin it was, no matter how much you hate yourself for it, not one of those did he ever stop loving you for. Never. He never stopped loving you. And again, the reality is that sometimes we play this game that we think that God gets mad at us when we sin, then we go to confession, now he's not mad at us anymore. Oh, stop it. Is that the God like us? Is he as bad as Father Larry? He got to be much nicer than Father Larry, or who wants to be with him, right? The reality is, and if we can do that, you know, I went to confession this past Monday to Father Monsignor Peterson. You know, and he was very gentle with me, and I don't know what's up with this, because he's never gentle. Because when he called me last week, a week ago, and says, I think it's time for you to come see me. So when he does that, I usually think one of you told on me for something that I did, and that I'm going to get hell. You know, he's going to come in and says, well, someone told me you were angry, and you said something angry, or you were short with them, and that's what I normally get. So I thought, okay. I walked in and I said, now what I do? And he says, oh, nothing. Just haven't seen you for a while. I said, okay. So then I went to confession. And at the confession, you know, usually throughout all the years, he sits there and he looks at me after confession. He says, Larry, isn't it great God loves a jerk like you? And I always say, yeah, Pete, it's great God loves a jerk. And he's true. He has deep, intimate knowledge of me. He knows me more than anybody else in the world. Nobody knows me in this world better than Monsignor Peterson. He's known me as intimately as my confessor throughout the years. But this past Monday when he was with me, you know, he always grabs you by the hands when he sits there and you're going to confession. And at the end of the confession, he looked at me and he says, now I want you to look at me. Now, I'm not real good with this intimacy stuff, in case you haven't figured that out yet. He says, you look at me in the eyes. And so I'm, okay, what? He says, you know I've never stopped loving you. And I had to turn away, of course. Okay, thanks. And he says, and if I've never stopped loving you and I love you with all my heart, how much more does the God of love love you? Okay, Pete, can we change the subject, please? But that's the reality, that this woman was met by the God of the universe, and he knew her sin and he loved her. And it was his love that transformed her, right? Again, there's a great story by Anthony de Mello, God rest him, a Jesuit. And again, it was just a story about a lot of God stories, if you will. And one of them is about a guy who was neurotic. And everybody said he was neurotic because everybody told him, you got to change, you got to change, you got to change. And he knew he had to change. And he kept trying, but he couldn't change. He kept trying, but he couldn't change. Even his best friend went to him and says, you know, you're so neurotic, you got to change, you got to stop. And he tried and he tried, but he couldn't change. And all of a sudden, one day, his best friend, go back there. It's great. Good to see you. His best friend came up to him and says, you know, I love you as you are. Don't change. Don't change. Don't change. And the guy let them hear, don't change. Don't change. Don't change. And what happened? He changed. Huh? Even when Jesus calls us to change, the first thing ever out of Christ's mouth was repent. Right? Change your life, man. But he says, what's going to give you? You don't have to try this yourself. You don't have to change by working harder or trying harder. You got to change by believing in the good news. And the good news is you are loved as you are. And that love, once you accept that as you are, then that love has the power to change you to where God wants you to go. Right? Again, the woman who was caught in adultery. She should have been stoned. That was the law. For those of you who like law, that's the law. God said in his word, you are to be killed, you're to be stoned. Jesus, the word of God, when he meets her, says, does anyone condemn you? No one, sir. Then the word, the king, the judge of the universe, says to this woman in adultery, who the law said should be killed, well, neither do I condemn you. His love embraced her, and then he said, now go sin no more. That's the way God deals with us. That's the way he deals with Nicodemus. And if that's the way God deals with us, that his love is that entity that makes us and gives us the ability to change, the love of where we are accepted and loved to where we need to go because we're accepted and loved. If that's the intimate knowledge God has of you and me, then he says, guess what? This is how I want you to deal with others. Not judgment first, love first. Not condemnation first, love first. So our jobs in our families, when people aren't living the Catholic faith well and they're not doing what we expect them to do, what's your job? To love them. Never judge them. You're not God and neither am I. But we all do it, especially me, I know well. But that ain't what God's commanding us. Our love will set people free, or God's love through us. But again, the reason we don't give that love to others is because most of us here have never experienced the God of the love of the universe that way. We always think God is judging us. Very few believe God is loving us. But that's how he dealt with the woman. That's how he'll deal with you. And that's how he wants you and I to deal with others. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stand and let us profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he arose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life in the world to come. Amen. Believing in this God who would rather die than live without any of us, let's now turn to him and give to him these, our needs and our petitions.